Good morning and welcome. Welcome to worship. I trust that you have your Bible with you. I would invite you to join me in God's Word. We're going to be in Ephesians chapter 5, looking at verses 25 to 32 in this message that I've entitled Love One Another in this series, Christianity in Action, Learning to Relate to One Another. John chapter 15 and verse 17 reads, "These things I command you, that you love one another." Listen, if you were to stop the first 100 people you meet on the street and ask them, "What's wrong with the church today?" you will most likely get some answers. Many of the answers may have to do with how we interact with others as Christians, which is basically about the health of the church. Jesus knows what is needed to make the church healthy. He directed the Apostle Paul to tell Christians how to love one another. Using the marriage relationship and paralleling it to the church and Christ, he revealed four ways for believers to love one another. Love with sacrificial love. Love with purifying love. Love with caring love. And love with unifying love. If you haven't already, would you turn with me to Ephesians chapter 5 and around verse 25. We're going to look at that. The love that is presented in this text, it's not philia or brotherly love. It's not eros or romantic love, but it's agape, selfless love. My dog Kelly, well, she's Joanne's dog, but for whatever reason, she's chosen me to be her human. Anyway, she loves me no matter what, period. I mean, that's it. She just loves me. Regardless of how I act, regardless of how I speak, regardless of how I look, she's always devoted to me. However, there is a problem with this analogy. Kelly doesn't really know any better. She's not sentient. She doesn't sit and think about things like we do as humans. I mean, I can even fool her by the tone of my voice and the mannerisms that I use when speaking with her. I can say, "You're a stupid dog," but if I say it the right way, her tail will be wagging, she'll be ready to jump on me. All I have to do is just use the right tone. "Oh, Kelly, you are such a stupid little dog." And she's like, ah. This passage is mostly used to talk about marriage, relationships, and that is certainly the thrust of it. And yet the Apostle Paul likens that union to the church, particularly the Lord's relationship with her. Jesus Christ is our ultimate example for every aspect of the Christian life. Jesus Christ is totally committed to the church. He is totally committed to you and to me. And let me tell you a spiritual reality of this relationship. The more we become like Jesus, the more we will love what he loves, the church, other Christians. What the apostle makes clear in our text is that as Christians, We're to love one another unconditionally, regardless of how the other person acts, talks, or looks. And we are to do it knowing that the person could be different. But it's not our job to change them. Agape love is spiritually powered love that loves regardless. First, we're to love one another as Christians with sacrificial love. That's what verse 25. Husbands, love your wives just as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for her. Gave himself for her. John chapter 15, verses 12 and 13, Jesus applied his own sacrifice for us as the standard of how we're to love one another. It is love with the other person's best interests in mind and needs being met. This is my commandment, that you love one another as I have loved you. Greater love has no one than this, than to lay down one's life for his friends. 2 Corinthians chapter 8 and verse 9. For you know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that though he was rich, yet for your sakes he became poor, that you through his poverty might become rich. Jesus was the perfect sacrifice for our need. I mean, just think about it for a moment. By his incarnation, he became the perfect solution to our sin problem. We needed a savior. We needed someone who could pay the penalty for our sin. But it can't be us because we're sinners. It can't be just another human because we're all sinners. But because a man sinned, a man must pay the penalty for sin. And so Jesus, God himself, in the incarnation, became a man, a perfect man, a man with no sin, and he became the perfect payment for our sin. He became the perfect sacrifice for our sin. He became the solution, the perfect solution to our sin problem. He was willing to give himself to save us, to lay his life down for us. By placing our trust in him, we're now in Christ. And as his followers are part of that same vine, we have to bear the same fruit, giving our lives to minister in his name, ministering his love to others. Ministering to one another in love. John chapter 15 talks about that vine and what part we are as branches of that vine. John 15 verse 1, I am the true vine, and my Father is the vine dresser. Every branch in me that does not bear fruit, he takes away. And every branch that bears fruit, he prunes so that it may bear more fruit. You are already clean because of the word which I have spoken to you. Abide in me, and I in you. As the branch cannot bear fruit of itself unless it abides in the vine, neither can you unless you abide in me. I am the vine, you are the branches. He who abides in me and I in him bears much fruit, for without it you can do nothing. If anyone does not abide in me, he is cast out as a branch and is withered, and they gather them and throw them into the fire, and they are burned. If you abide in me, and my words abide in you, you will ask what you desire, and it shall be done for you. By this my Father is glorified, that you bear much fruit. So you will be my disciples. Because he died to take care of my sin problem, I've been called to surrender to his lordship, to be his vessel of ministry, essentially giving my life to minister to others, especially one another. Galatians chapter 2, verse 20 says it so beautifully, so clearly. I have been crucified with Christ. It is no longer I who live, but Christ lives in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. So we're to love one another with sacrificial love. Second, we're to love one another as Christians with purifying love. Look at verses 26 down to verse 28. That he might sanctify and cleanse her with the washing of water by the word, that he might present her to himself a glorious church, not having spot or wrinkle or any such thing, but that she should be holy and without blemish. So husbands ought to love their own wives as their own bodies. He who loves his wife loves himself. Sanctify and cleanse her, that he might present her. Jesus' purity changed people. Every life impacts all the lives it touches, for good or for evil. We experience this reality every day. Remember the message of the movie It's a Wonderful Life with Jimmy Stewart. It illustrates just how every life touches the lives of those around them, those that they are connected to in some way. Jesus' motivation drove him to impact his people in a purifying way. His purpose? That he might present her to himself a glorious church. He was ready to sacrifice whatever is necessary to meet all her needs. Our motivation should be to live our Christian life in such a way that we impact one another with purity, not having spot or wrinkle or any such thing, but that she should be holy and without blemish. So we're to love one another with purifying love. And then third, we are to love one another as Christians with caring love. Verse 29, for no one ever hated his own flesh, but nourishes and cherishes it, just as the Lord does the church. Notice that the benchmark here is love for self. A human standard is added to the divine one. Does that mean that how we love other Christians reveals how we love ourselves? I mean, just think for a moment. The care you give to yourself, how much energy you give to how you look. We get up in the morning, we look in the mirror, and we see the situation, and we do what's necessary to make that situation the way we want it to be, the way we want it to present it to others when we leave our home and go out into the world. Nourishes and cherishes. God meets our need. Philippians 4:19 makes that clear. And my God shall supply all your need according to his riches in glory by Christ Jesus. Jehovah Jireh translates the God who provides. Nourish means to feed. And cherish means to keep warm. It's that simple. So Christians are called to consider others before themselves. To make sure other Christians are taken care of. Nourished in God's word. And cherished in God's love. Christ's body ministers grace among its members. We are to minister to one another with physical needs in mind, ready to make sure that whatever is needed is provided. So we're to love one another with caring love. And then fourth and finally, we are to love one another as Christians with unifying love. Verses 30 down to verse 32. For we are members of his body, of his flesh, and of his bones. For this reason, a man shall leave his father and mother and be joined to his wife, and the two shall become one flesh. This is a great mystery, but I speak concerning Christ and the church. We are members of his body. A healthy body is a unified body. Psalm 133 and verse 1. Behold how good and how pleasant it is for brethren to dwell together in unity. A healthy body is a diverse body. All different parts. All needed parts. All loved parts. All loved by God with one spirit in all. The Holy Spirit. Ephesians, look at for a moment at Ephesians chapter 4. Let's look at several verses there, beginning with verse 1, Ephesians 4. I therefore, the prisoner of the Lord, beseech you to walk worthy of the calling with which you were called, with all lowliness and gentleness, with long suffering, bearing with one another in love, endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. There is one body and one Spirit, just as you were called in one hope of your calling, one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is above all and through all and in you all. But to each one of us, grace was given according to the measure of Christ's gift. Therefore, he says, when he ascended on high, he led captivity captive and gave gifts to men. Now this, he ascended, what does it mean but that he also first descended into the lower parts of the earth? He who descended is also the one who ascended far above all the heavens, that he might fill all things. And he himself gave some to be apostles, some prophets, some evangelists, and some pastors and teachers. For the equipping of the saints, for the work of ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ, till we all come to the unity of the faith and to the knowledge of the Son of God, to a perfect man, to the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ, that we should no longer be children, tossed to and fro by and carried about with every wind of doctrine, by the trickery of men, in the cunning craftiness of deceitful plotting, but speaking the truth in love, may grow up in all things into him who is the head, Christ, from whom the whole body, joined and knit together by what every joint supplies, according to the effective working by which every part does its share, causes growth of the body for the edifying of itself in love. We are to love one another with unifying love. Love is the gift which one size fits all. It's the best gift of the Spirit. Christian love has nothing to do with emotion, although it will be felt emotionally. It is active. 1 Corinthians chapter 13, verses 4 through 8. Love suffers long and is kind. Love does not envy. Love does not parade itself. Is not puffed up. Does not behave rudely. Does not seek its own. Is not provoked. Does not think evil. Does not rejoice in iniquity, but rejoices in the truth. Bears all things. Believes all things. Hopes all things. Endures all things. Love never fails. But whether there are prophecies, they will fail. Whether there are tongues, they will cease. Whether there is knowledge, it will vanish away. Without this kind of love, all we do for Christ is meaningless. Let me call you to make a commitment to love other Christians with this kind of love, this agape love. Just take a moment. Take a moment, will you? Just as we are here, as we are sitting here and online, just take a moment and think of another Christian you've had conflict with, or whom you just don't like. If you've trusted Jesus and put your faith in Him as Savior and Lord, then you have the Holy Spirit living in you. And you have the capacity to love that person. Would you pray with me? Father, thank you for your word. Thank you for the truth. Thank you that we are called to love one another. We are called to love with in a sacrificial way, in a caring way, in a unifying way. Father, you call us to minister to one another. And Father, that we may love one another with that selfless, grace-empowered agape love. And Father, may we be faithful to serve you and trust you as we love one another. And Father, we just commit this to you for your purposes, for your kingdom's sake. And Father, I pray that those of us here, those of us online watching or listening, Father, that you would minister to us and call us to a commitment to love other believers with your special agape love for your kingdom's sake. And it's in Jesus' precious name we pray. Amen. 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 You have a great day.